Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Michael Savage, on the microphone, he will do damage. To all the fools, he will just ravage. His intelligence will definitely manage. Take a stand, beat it up, and challenge all the crap that is wrong with the system. Turn your radio loud and listen to the voice of the man. All across, up and down the land. So just focus your concentration and be part of the Savage Nation.
Unbelievable.
Border language culture.
Unbelievable.
Michael Savage. Savage Nation.
Thank you very much. That's from a listener named Petri who wrote that for us and set it to heavy metal music. I hope you like the new opening to the Savage Nation. There is a lot in the news. I mean, To Kill a Mockingbird was a movie many years ago where a black man was falsely accused of rape and a hysteria took hold of a southern town. And today America has become quite provincial, especially in the media where provincial men along the lines of the type you see on MSNBC, More Soviet Nonsense by Chicks, have crucified Herman Cain. This thing with the newest woman, it doesn't matter to me one way or the other, because the fact of the matter is they've ruined him. It doesn't matter whether it's true or false. They've lynched Herman Cain. They've destroyed Herman Cain. And what's astonishing to me is that the liberals have done it with such savor. They've savored it. They've enjoyed it. You can see them salivating as they attack this black man. And you well know. You well know that Barack Obama has many skeletons in his closet. And you know that they've laid off all those skeletons who have allowed to lay there dormant in the closet of the president. But you look what they've done to Herman Cain. And look who's doing it. It's not Republicans. It's not conservatives. In fact, it's the Tea Party embraced Herman Cain. And yet the liberals who claim to be progressive and futuristic are as negative on issues such as race as anyone I've ever seen. There's nothing I can say about it that's worth talking about because it's over. The woman herself has a long history of lawsuits and harassment. It doesn't matter whether she's more believable than Herman Cain. They've destroyed a good man. It's that simple. And yet, if you turn on the cable news channels today, nothing but the sentencing of the quack doctor who killed Michael Jackson. All of the channels at the same time were blacked out like in the ex-Soviet Union for well over an hour about a sentencing I never saw anything like this. This is a day that Iranians have destroyed the British embassy in Tehran. This is a day we found out the size of the massive bailout loans that the Federal Reserve secretly gave to banks in 2008. This is the day we found out that Hank Paulson, the former Treasury Secretary under George Bush, gave away billions of dollars to his friends in the banking industry, and nothing happened to him. And if you don't pay a library fine, the black helicopters will come to get to you. This is a day that American Airlines has declared bankruptcy as a result of the unions refusing to give up their inflated salaries and benefits. This is the day that we're all reminded that Newt Gingrich, the retreaded 1970s, 1980s white wall tire, is a front for the Democrat Party, and I can prove it with one soundbite. Here is Newt Gingrich and Nancy Pelosi putting out the big lie about warmism or global warming. This is Gingrich and Pelosi lining up for the billions of dollars in graft for themselves or for their cronies to push money towards the fraud called warmism. Listen to this.
Hi, I'm Nancy Pelosi, lifelong Democrat and Speaker of the House.
And I'm Newt Gingrich, lifelong Republican, and I used to be Speaker.
We don't always see eye to eye, do we, Newt?
No, but we do agree our country must take action to address climate change.
We need cleaner forms of energy, and we need them fast.
If enough of us demand action from our leaders, we can spark the innovation we need.
Go to WeCanSolveIt.org. Together, we can do this.
I rest my case. I mean, there's nothing more to be said. I remember this. I couldn't believe that this retread, this white wall tire that's been rolling around the beltway of Washington for too many decades now, is even being taken seriously is astounding to me. It's just a shocker. Okay, you want to talk about it in these topics. The phone number is 1-800-449-825. Who listening to this show, who amongst you listening to this show is not nauseated by listening to Newt Gingrich and Nancy Pelosi pushing forward the big lie of warmism simply to get the trillions of dollars that's going out there for the warmest theories in order to make sure their friends and cronies are given no-bid contracts, government loans that are guaranteed for things of that nature, right? I mean, it's crazy. The whole thing's nuts. I don't know how anyone can trust Newt Gingrich. I believe I pegged him correctly in my book, The Political Zoo, of 5 years ago, where I called him a certain number of names. All right, so I called him names. The fact of the matter is, you should be laughing at the lunacy of global warming. It's the theory of human carbon dioxide production causing global doom. Global warming, or warmism, is a fascist left theory that has replaced Marxism as a method to seize power over your life. What you may not know, and I'm a trained scientist, in case you don't know it, I'm not an environmental scientist, but I'm trained with a PhD from the University of California at Berkeley, which is about as good as they come. I had almost a straight A average. My dissertation was published as a book. I mean, I'm right up there in terms of intelligence with anyone on the planet. And I will tell you that carbon dioxide is a trace greenhouse gas. And our human production of this trace greenhouse gas is a trace of that little level. 0.1% of greenhouse gases are made by man. This is insanity. And this whole thing about Solyndra and $500 million to cronies that the FBI is investigating, shouldn't that tell you that the crony capitalist scam of renewable energy is nothing but a boondoggle? That Solyndra was an example of what it's all about. And here was Newt Gingrich joining Nancy Pelosi in the fascist left's fantasy of global warming. It's unbelievable to me. Can you believe what I just played for you? How can you believe in this retread? This retread, you know, let me tell you something. If it's true about Kane, I wouldn't say that's a good thing, but I would say he's less of a hypocrite than Newt Gingrich. How do you like that? And I'll tell you something else. If he slept with 100 women, I'd feel safer at night with Kane as a president than Newt Gingrich. Let me put it to you that way. Maybe that'll wake you up a little bit. The fact of the matter is, Kane has been neutralized by the fascist left. They've destroyed him because they're racist to the core. The fascist left is racist to their core. They hate blacks, and they pretend that they like blacks, but they use blacks. And look what they did to Herman Kane. But that's not the issue. The issue is, you have now heard definitively the proof that Newt Gingrich and Nancy Pelosi joined together to push forward the big lie of global warming. How could anyone listening to this show tell me they would still believe in a Newt Gingrich? How is it possible? Danny in New York, you're the first up on the Savage Nation. Thank you for calling on this evening from WOR in New York. Danny, what's on your mind?
Hi, Mr. Savage. I just heard the commercial. I'm driving on the Long Island Expressway, almost drove off the side of the road. I couldn't believe that commercial. The Republican Party has got to find somebody better than this guy, Gingrich. I don't know. You think there's any hope, Mr. Savage?
I know. No, you're asking a serious question, and I like to have a mirthful view of things. This is very serious what's going on. When you see a Republican Party bringing up retreads like Newt Gingrich and holding him up as something new, when you and I both know he's got so much baggage on his baggage that he's unelectable, number one, and that he's trying to run down Romney, number two, is really worrisome. It means to me he's working hand in glove with the Democrat establishment to destroy Romney. That's what I see. Let's start with that. However, having said all of that, if it's a Romney-Obama vote, I'm not so sure that Romney wins for one reason. Romney has baggage, and Romney's liberalism is an impediment to getting the conservative vote. So it's quite worrisome. I have no answer to the question, to be frank with you.
I don't know if we could do four more years with Obama. The country's going...
Well, you got two more years with him. That's to begin with. He's already taken us down roads that the country has never been established to go down. He's taken us down roads this country was never established to go down. He's taken us down roads that the ex-Soviet Union went down and learned with the disaster of communism where those roads lead. Those roads lead to a graveyard and one salami hanging in a butcher store with a line around the block. That's where Obama is leading us. You know that and I know that.
Yes, sir. I agree with you totally. And I just want to leave off. I think you're the best on the radio. You're better than everybody else in New York City. God bless you, Mr. Savage. And have
that's
a great
beautiful
day.
To hear. You know, that's a beautiful call. I mean, you know, you get a call like that, it makes you feel good. The fact of the matter is, I am on the East Coast right now. Normally, I come out of San Francisco. And, you know, it's an interesting thing. When you're sitting here, the time zone, of course, being different, it's a totally different mood. When you actually experience the time of day, especially in the winter, as opposed to I'm sitting in the afternoon there in California, it's a different feeling for me. But when I'm on the East Coast, I mean, I feel people driving in their cars across the LIE, the Brooklyn Queens Expressway, in North Carolina, South Carolina, Atlanta, Georgia, Florida, wherever we are, I can feel a difference, to be honest with you. And I can hear people are very worried tonight, even from that one call. People are very concerned because they realize that when I play the commercial of Newt Gingrich and Nancy Pelosi, which I never forgot, by the way, I remember when I saw it, it was a triple take. When I first saw it, I said, this can't be true. That Newt Gingrich is such a whore, pardon me, that he would lay down in bed with Nancy Pelosi and push the scam of global warming. I said, who bought this doughboy to go in that ad for him? I mean, what'd they pay the doughboy to do that ad? What did the doughboy get for that ad? I mean, he's like Mr. Pillsbury. Forget the white wall tire imagery. Just think of him as the Pillsbury doughboy running for president. And now let me ask you something else. Let's put aside all political beliefs for the moment, and let's run strictly on telegenicity, as I told you last night. On one side of the quotient, you have a Pillsbury doughboy, a fat old white man named Newt Gingrich. On the other side, you have a telegenic black guy named Barack Obama. And then you've got 90% of the American people being total idiots who are obsessed with sluts from Hollywood. And which one is sleeping with who? I'm telling you, think about what I just said to you. You think they really care about policy issues? When you got a newspaper owned by Murdoch called the New York Post, yes, of course it's a scandal sheet, but it used to have some news in it. I have never seen anything like this. I open it up on the internet every day. Every day, without exception, there's a story about some woman with a long name that ends in an N, whose behind is too big and whose lips are too red. It's every day about an unknown slut. I can't believe that Murdoch would permit this. And this is the country I'm living in. Now, if he's selling newspapers based upon a woman whose butt is too big, whose lips are too red, whose name is too long, what can you expect from the voters with regard to a Pillsbury doughboy on one side and a very telegenic black man on the other? Tell me who wins that election, irrespective of what your polls are telling you, because the polls are worthless. They're garbage. They're nothing. Okay, 1-800-449-8255. Before we take our first break, I want my friends listening now to hear the heavy metal music on the way into the next break. Play version number 2 from our listener who put this together just for you out there in Savage Land.
Michael Savage, on the microphone, he will do damage to all the fools, he will just ravage. His intelligence will definitely manage to take a stand, beat it up, and challenge all the crap that is wrong with the system. Turn your radio loud and listen to the voice of the man, all across, up and down the land. So just focus your concentration and be part of the Savage Nation. Borders, language, culture, Michael Savage.
Savage.
I'm not proud. I didn't want to come out with this. I did not.
Ginger White was worried a political tsunami was headed her way, so she decided to head it off by confessing she was involved in a nearly 14-year-long affair with presidential hopeful Herman Cain.
It was pretty simple. It wasn't complicated. And I was aware that he was married, and I was also aware that I was involved in a very inappropriate situation, relationship.
999.
Oh, come on. Look, you know, I have a friend, Jack, Dr. Sarfati, so he's traveling with us on this trip. Jack said, you know, this attack on Herman Cain is like the book To Kill a Mockingbird by Harper Lee. And that was about racism when a black man went on trial for the rape of a white woman and he didn't do it. You know, this is amazing. You're seeing a mob unleashed on Herman Cain on the order of something we have not seen since the drunken mobs of the last century, the beginning of the last century. And to think that liberals from Washington don't see that we see this. You think I don't see through their racism? You think that a guy like that guy on MSNBC with the straw hair, puffball, whatever his name is, the Democrat operative, you think I don't know that he's a stone-cold racist in his heart? You think he thinks he's fooling me? He's not fooling me. He never fooled me. I knew from the get-go what that guy was. I took one look at him and I knew what he was. But it's irrelevant. They've destroyed him. They destroyed Cain, and that's the end of it. We have a divided society. This country's not been this divided, in my opinion. I would go back to the civil rights movement. Obama has divided the country in a way it has not been divided since the 1960s. He and Rahm Emanuel and his other advisors have decided that divide and conquer is the best strategy. And divide and conquer they are. They've divided the nation, and now they're conquering the Republicans one by one. They're letting the Republicans themselves destroy themselves by having too many debates in front of liberal slime balls like that one from CNN, that Wolf Blitzer creature, which I'll never understand how Republicans can subject themselves to such a moderator. I cannot for the life of me understand how they would do this unless they're committing suicide. Conquer they are, the Democrats, also by unleashing shills such as Newt Gingrich to denigrate people like Mitt Romney, to disgrace the entire ticket with his run in that he is about the least qualified man to even step forward to run for this office, in the sense that his baggage has baggage number one, and he's a retread number two, and his time is gone a long time ago. So he was a good speaker and a brilliant man, and he was. He was a brilliant man at the time, but he's unelectable. And the only reason Gingrich is running is to destroy Romney. And believe me, they're doing this from the Democrat side, and you've seen nothing yet. Come May, you're going to see third-party candidates emerge to steal the Republican election the way Perot did it for Clinton.
Savage.
You want to talk about the economy for a minute, in addition to the election? I'll tell you what I'm going to talk about for a minute. I'm a boater, all right, so I read boating magazines. So I was reading Yachting Magazine on the way out here, or I don't know where. And I found an article by the CEO of a major yachting company. And he tells a long story about a man he knew when he was a kid who was his hero and his father's, you know, like mentor in business. And he said, one day the adult males in our tribe were quietly discussing some major local business that was in deep trouble. And the consensus was that they were going to go under. He says, when I got my chance, I asked Mo, if the business was so good, why someone in the group didn't just bail him out? And he told me this story. He said, when you are out in your canoe in the middle of a lake and a drowning man suddenly appears screaming for help, always consider the outcomes. The obvious one is you reach out and save the man, bring him into your canoe, and then he hangs around your neck forever like an albatross. The second possibility is you try to save him, but he panics and tips over the canoe and you both drown. The third choice, which is always the hardest and often the wisest, is to pick up your paddle, beat him over the head, and put him out of his misery and keep paddling your own canoe. Then he goes on and he says, the bank bailouts so far with our money were wrong, and the bailouts that are about to take place around the world, including this country again, are wrong. The American taxpayer is no longer in a battleship. We're just a canoe, and maybe it's time we elect someone with age, experience, and wisdom. Just no more wonder boys like Clinton, Bush 43, and Obama, please. He says, personally, I'm done with youth in the White House. And I read that, and I said, boy, is this so true? I said, Greece is much like that guy in the canoe. And here we read today that they're going to bail Greece out with our money. Ben Bernanke is going to bail out Greece with our taxpayer money? They're going to just print more money? Look, the fact of the matter is, every government on earth, I think without exception, every government is insolvent. And if you taxed all of the citizens at 100% of their income, it would not balance the budgets. So what does that tell you? Think about what I just said to you. If all the governments are bankrupt, and that if you taxed all the citizens in every country at a rate of 100% of their income, the governments would not be solvent. So what does that tell you? The only answer is to cut spending. The only answer is to cut the pensions that were given out to unions. The fact of the matter is there's no assets to cover the pension plans. None of them are fully funded. I live on the West Coast in several different areas, and one is in a county called Marin. One city in Marin called San Rafael has unfunded pensions of over $1 billion because of the corruption and cronyism in that town amongst the board of supervisors and amongst the unions. It's $1 billion in pensions, unfunded. Who's going to pay for it? Fact is, states, counties, cities cannot meet their pension commitments. There's no way to solve this. And the fact is, we fought two wars on borrowed money. And the biggest problem here is not the war. The biggest problem here is the fact that the welfare state has expanded so rapidly under Clinton, Bush, and Obama. What has happened could have easily been predicted. The welfare state has destroyed the United States of America. And the only way to solve this is to end the welfare state. The only way to end this is to stop telling people that they're entitled. Listen to the word, entitled. Entitled. Even though they're broke, even though they don't work, even though they're on welfare, they're entitled to a house. They're entitled to a color television. They're entitled to a car. They're entitled to a telephone. They're entitled to four meals a day. They're entitled to a health care system that they did not fund. And you keep going down the list. They're not entitled to jack, my friend. I'm a former social worker, and I saw the abuse going back to the 1960s. I know what entitlements have done to this country. And the only solution is to cut the entitlements, because there are no such things as entitlements. And put it in another way, there's no such thing as a free lunch. That man's entitlement is that man's free lunch, and you're paying for it. That's all there is to it. It's not coming from the air. It's coming from somebody. Fact is, Greece, Italy, Spain, and Portugal are now dependent upon productive societies, or more productive societies, such as Germany and France. And now we hear that the United States is suddenly, we're going to write a check now to Greece because we're so rich. Can you believe this? It's astounding. The fact of the matter is, this is all unsustainable. That's all there is to it. And the fact is that we have to cut everywhere, including in the Defense Department. We have to pull all the troops out of Afghanistan. It's a hellhole, and we don't belong there. Yeah, Afghanistan, I can go into for 5 hours if I had to. It is a place we do not belong. And it's costing us, you know how much? $50 billion a year. $50 billion a year. One brigade combat team runs $1 billion a month in Afghanistan. You hear that a number like this? I don't give a rat's behind about Afghanistan or the Afghans. Why are we there? What is our interest in that feud? What is our interest in that feud in Afghanistan between tribes? Why are we there? Didn't we learn our lesson in Vietnam? What in the heck are we doing this? 2 years after the last U.S. soldier ran out of Vietnam, the country was overrun by the communists and they killed 1 million people. And now you wake up and Vietnam has a healthier economy than we do. How is that possible? Well, again, I can't summarize it all in 10 sentences, and I'm not running for office, believe me. But we have to cut everywhere. Something has to give here. Something has to give. And there's a way to do the military in a much smarter manner than we've been doing it for the last 50 years. World War II has long been over. And what we need is a much more powerful special forces, much more powerful SEAL teams, much more powerful leadership able to use these teams to kill the bad guys before they become big enough to threaten us as a nation state. How do you like that? But you don't see that happening. So what are we getting for our money? What are we getting for our money? Let's take the callers now on the Savage Nation. Marcel in Hawaii, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, listen, Dr. Savage, it is up to you. It is up to you to throw your hat in the ring. We need someone like you to lead this country. You love your country. I hear your show every day, sometimes four and five times a day. I listen to the rebroadcast. Hmm. Sir, you are the one. It's up to you. Stop.
Well, let me explain something again. I'm never going to run for office. Well, never is a long time, and I shouldn't say that. Someone once taught me a long time ago, I never use the word never. So I'm not running for office. I don't intend to run for office. I'm not playing with running for office for two reasons. You want to hear them? I don't have the emotional nature to run for office. I could not do it. I can't lie. I can't kiss babies. I can't go up on fake debate me the way he did with the Republicans. If I was up there last week and that little thing started to try and boss people, all right, we're going for a break now. You just hold on there. I got you all with rings in your nose. You hold on there. I'm Will Flitz. I got you all by the nose. I'll be right back. We're breaking now. I would have. Are you kidding me? I wouldn't have stood for that. I would have told him to shut his little yapper. I would have said, shut your pie hole and listen. You're just the moderator. Don't open your mouth up on me. I'll tell you the questions I want to answer. Now you're going to see the country respond to a man who takes these media nobodies and reduces them to what they are, the Lilliputians that they are. That's what we need for leadership. And unless they're willing to take these ringleaders and crush them, they're never going to become president. But having said that, I'm not running for office because, A, I don't have the emotional temperament, and number two, I'm unelectable. You want me to be very clear with you? I could get 15% of the vote. I know that, but I'm unelectable. Do you understand that as well?
Dr. Savage, sir, please, you are the perfect person to turn it all around. Don't you see? Don't you see that? Sir, I beg of you, I would be the first one to jump out there and do all I can. And I know, just like you don't use the media for anything that you're driving, you have followers, sir. Sir, I beg you.
Look, I have listeners, but I'm not a politician. And the reason I have listeners is because I'm not a politician. The minute I became a politician, I would lose all credibility. Don't you see that?
Sir, if you act like a politician, you would lose credibility. You are not a politician. You can't even act like one, sir. You're one of the real, true Americans left.
Look what they just did to Herman Cain with false accusations. What do you think they would do to me?
Herman Cain, sir, with all due respect, you cannot compare yourself to Herman Cain. I'm sorry. You're a much different person than Herman Cain is, and people respect you and know you. You have a different track record than Herman Cain. Sir.
Yes, but if they can invent women to come out of the closet who make up out of whole cloth the lies that they've made up, you saw those low-life degenerates that were marched out by that disgusting creature lawyer. You saw that. And the media treated that disgusting low-life lawyer like she was the Holy Grail because they wanted to destroy Herman Cain. What do you think they would do to gin up a story about me?
But how would you handle it versus the way...
Well, let me put it to you this way. I was banned in Britain based upon false quotes taken from me out of context and sent over to England by the United States government. I have suspicions. I know who did it. And look what they achieved, and look how I had no support here. So what do you think would happen if I ever went and threw my hat in the ring for a thing like this, which I'm not going to do? What do you think would happen?
Well, I tell you what, sir, with all due respect, I love you. I love your show. I am going to drum up the folks.
No. Come on. Don't do that. Don't do that because I'm not running for office. I'm not a politician. I don't have it for this business. It's not where I'm supposed to be. You know, the only way that could ever happen, because it can happen because I don't believe in fantasy, is if God came down into my room and said to me, okay, there's the Red Sea, you're going to part it. Okay, but that hasn't happened. You know, God would have to come down into my bed in my living room and tell me to part the Red Sea for me to do a thing like that. In many ways, Marcel, without getting a little overly dramatic here, you remember what happened in the myth of the biblical myth about Moses when God tells Moses to lead his people, what he said to God? Do you remember that story?
Yes.
He said, I'm not made to be a leader. He said, I have impediments. He said, I stutter. I have this wrong with me. I have that wrong with me. And God said, that's exactly why I'm choosing you, is because you are imperfect. And that's what you're saying to me, Marcel. What you're saying to me is, please be our Moses. Please part the Red Sea for all of us out here who see a hopelessness ahead of us, a destruction of the greatest country in the history of the world, and a bunch of scoundrels trying to take over the country from this scoundrel. Please, you're asking me to do that. But you're asking the wrong man because it's not me, Marcel. It's not my calling.
Sir, with all due respect, if I could say one more thing. Remember, you talked about how you got into radio, how you sent out all of those demos.
And right.
You didn't realize at some point earlier in your life, in your career, that this is what you were going to do. You look at you now. Look at what you've done to radio. You don't even understand how you've affected me in radio. I'm an African-American. I've done radio for 20 years. Don't you understand that listening to your show for the last 3 years, you have changed my life, okay? And I'm not going to get emotional here. But I'm telling you, we really, really, you didn't realize you were going to be as big a force in radio as you are today. And yes, you are. I believe you're number one. You say number two, I say number one. But please, this is the next level. I'm literally begging of you, and I know it may sound funny to you or some other
person. No, it doesn't sound funny, and don't think that you're the first person to have suggested this, but let me say again, I'm not even considering it, because here's what would happen. They would bring down upon me and my family the worst accusations that are all false imaginable, and I will not do that to people. I will not do to others what was done to me. I will not do that. See, I don't walk alone on this earth. I walk as part of a family, and I would not let my family be touched by those animals. You're dealing with the most vicious people on the planet. These are the most vicious people on the planet. They're worse than the Islamists. The Democrats, the Democrat operatives and the Republican operatives are as vicious as the Taliban when it comes to preserving their right to steal money from the public. I don't know how else to put it, Marcel, but what I just said, you can set that in stone.
They've tried to do that to you with your radio show, and you're number one.
Hold on. Let's not get carried away. My show is number three on terrestrial radio, and on web broadcasting, it's number two only to Rush Limbaugh, and that's pretty amazing when you consider that I'm not on a lot of big stations and that I have almost no publicity. I mean, that's a pretty big statement unto itself. A lot of young people are tuning into Michael Savage for various and sundry reasons. That doesn't mean that I'm going to run for office, Marcel. I want to continue doing radio as long as God gives me the strength to get up, keep my mind focused, stay tuned into what's going on and be able to articulate my views the way I do them on the radio. And I want to continue to write my books. I really don't want to do anything else, Marcel.
I understand that, sir. I understand that you want to just do radio the way that you've been doing it, but we need you.
You know,
okay?
Marcel, isn't it enough that I influence the thoughts of people, that I have influence over their view of the world? Is that not enough that I can tell you the way I see it? Don't you think it's a miracle that I'm still allowed on your radio station in Democrat, socialist Hawaii, that your radio station is still brave enough to carry this viewpoint, which is antithetical to the corrupt welfare state that you live in? Don't you think that's a miracle?
Yes, it is. And by the way, sir, I'm listening to you via an iPhone app. Don't you understand that there are millions of people who listen to radio? No one listens. Well, I'm not going to say no.
No, that's interesting what you just said, because there are millions of young people who listen to me on iPhone apps, and none of that is counted in ratings. I understand that. That's another factor, by the way, that's very interesting. People in the industry don't even know what's happening to them. I could broadcast out of my living room on no stations and have 10 million listeners. Do you know that, Marcel?
That's what I'm trying to tell you, sir. You have moved me. I have a radio station that we have millions of listeners via a radio station app. I know if you use it, I'm listening to the Savage radio app. There are thousands. I've told.
No, it's amazing. It's not even monetized. There's no money in it. It's not counted in ratings. And yet it's the biggest and the biggest growth area in radio. But that's a separate thing. Marcel, let me go back to another aspect of this thing, Mike, run kind of thing. I'm not Moses. That's number one. I'm not going to part the Red Sea, and you've got to understand that. B, it's not that I'm happy in what I do. I'm not a happy person. I have never been a happy person. I've always been an agonized soul, which is why I'm very good at the radio, because it allows me to take my agony and apply it to the problems in the world and try to make sense out of them. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but the way an artist goes into his studio and tries to make something perfect out of something imperfect, the way an artist would go into his studio and try to make a scientist try to make order out of chaos, that's what the radio is to me. And that's why I think it's so important to you, Marcel. You're living in a chaotic, disorderly world. And when you listen to me speak, it's as though you're hearing something clear come out. Stay tuned. I'll be right back.
Savage.
The The Savage airline is doing very well tonight. We're at cruising altitude. Please settle back for another couple of hours here. We had trouble last night. It was like flying a plane with two engines and having one engine go out and the radar go out. And then have the landing lights go out, and I had to stay on the air anyway. It was quite fun. So it turned out that somebody had turned the knob down on a speaker, and I couldn't hear any of the callers. But I said, hey, look, you know, you got a show to do. So I kept talking, and I couldn't hear any of the callers. We took no callers, etc. Amazing. We got very serious things going on. Kane being smeared, never saw anything like it right out of the Soviet Union. The fact that you've got the Pillsbury Doughboy Gingrich running when he has no chance to win whatsoever. The fact that American Airlines declared bankruptcy owing to unions, which have destroyed one airline after another, like the Grim Reaper. And whatever else you want to talk about. 1-800-449-8255. Time is almost up. I got to take one quick caller in New York City, WOR William. What's on your mind this dark evening? Go ahead, please.
Yes, I want to disagree with you, Dr. Savage. I'm a lifelong Republican, and my choice for the candidacy for president is Newt Gingrich, and I'll tell you why if you give me the chance. Newt Gingrich was a great Speaker of the House, and he accomplished an awful lot that went to the credit of the Clinton administration, because the Republicans had control of the Congress, and Newt Gingrich, as the Speaker, did an awful lot and got a lot of things through.
So he did. I agree with all of what you said, but that was then, this is now. He's not electable against Obama. I mean, I'm trying to be a pragmatist here. He can't beat Obama.
You're talking about baggage, okay? Now, unfortunately, we Republicans had a candidate in the 2008 election who didn't do it.
William, I'll tell you what. You're a very rational man. I want to hear you. Would you please stay on the line for the top of the next hour? I'd like to have this discussion. You see, this is not about Newt Gingrich as a man. It's about his electability. And I think that that's something I haven't articulated properly. He cannot win against Obama, in my opinion, but I want to hear yours.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin, and there's no telling who that it's naming. For the loser now will be later to win, for the times
they are a-changing. One of the great tunes of all time, it's Bobby Dylan. And the loser now will be the win. That's where we're at right now. And we're talking about a bunch of losers who are trying to win on the Republican ticket. Welcome to the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255. Now, the biggest loser of all is Obama, but the media, of course, working hand in glove with him and the Democrats, gives him a free pass. Now, what would be fair is if they bring up accusations by unknown wenches against Kane, then they let the unknown accusers against Obama have equal time. You see, This is how the fairness doctrine should operate. Why should a sitting president be given a pass while Republican candidates are thrown on their you-know-what by the media? In other words, every one of them is now being torn asunder either by each other or pulled across hot coals by the vermin in the media. And Obama sits there like, you know, the cat that ate the cream, because nobody's asking him one question about all of the scandals that he is enmeshed in, nor about the scandals that preceded him as he entered the White House, nor about the allegations that circulated about him as he ran for office and were quickly put out of the way by the very same people who are now blowing up the accusations against people like Herman Cain. So we're arguing about these things amongst ourselves here on the Savage Nation. And at the end of the last hour, a gentleman called from New York City, William, who is a Republican, and he says Newt Gingrich is the best qualified, and he was trying to explain why. And I want to turn the microphone back to him. I appreciate him holding on. William, thanks for holding from the great, powerful WOR. Go ahead, please.
Okay, we talked about baggage in the last segment, and the candidate with the most baggage, in my opinion, is Barack Obama. Starting with the Reverend Jeremiah Wright, for 20 years he was there, and he said he didn't hear what he said. That alone should tell you something. If he doesn't hear what
I agree with you. What about all the scandals that Obama's enmeshed in that the media doesn't talk about? Instead, they talk about some woman with an overly long name, an overly big behind, and overly large lips. Why are they covering up for him?
Dr. Savage, the media is never going to be on our side as Republicans. What you have to do or what...
Well, I'm not a Republican. I want to be very clear. I'm an independent conservative. That's a lot of... There's a big, big ground of difference between me and you. You know, you got to understand that. Just because a person has an R next to his name like Bush did, he wasn't my idea of a great president, William.
I understand that. But the fact that you're a conservative, and I'm a conservative, before I'm a Republican, I'm a conservative first. The fact is there are ways of getting around that, and you're not going to get around the media. You're never going to get them on your side. You're going to have to pay, and you're going to have to put a lot of money into advertising because that's the way it's done. And the
right, and if Romney ran, and he ran ads showing Obama sitting in the church for 20 years with the vile statements of that president, and if they ran the scandals of Solyndra and the $1.2 billion to Kennedy and the money that Pelosi gave to relatives— then Romney wins by 25 points, but you and I both know the Republicans won't do that.
Republicans, Romney won't do that. Gingrich will do that. In my
opinion. That's where you and I disagree. Didn't you hear the ad I played that Newt did with Nancy Pelosi saying that there's global warming and we need to work together for green energy?
I understand that, and I understand when it happened, and Newt Gingrich is not a presidential candidate at that time.
Wait a minute. Then why would he lie? Why would he stoop to that level of appealing with Nancy Pelosi on such a big fraud as global warming? What did he do it for? The money, right? So what does that tell you about his character?
Well, money for the ad? I don't understand that. The money for a political candidate comes from outside sources.
No, he wasn't running for office. You just said Newt did the global warming ad with Pelosi when he was not a candidate. So he did it because he was a private citizen and he wanted something. What do you think he got to do that ad?
I have absolutely no idea. But here again...
Well, I think Newt Gingrich owes America an explanation right now. Did he get paid? Did he get a contract steered somewhere because of it? What did he do it for? Why did he do it? I think that's a big question.
I understand that, but if he believes in global warming, that is one aspect of the campaign. It's one that isn't going to rule anything with me. He can talk about...
What do you mean? It's a gigantic scam. Global warming is a great scam created by Marxists of our time in order to grab control of the economy and steer it to their friends. In plain English, it's been debunked by thousands of scientists, and here is Newt Gingrich joining the fraudsters. I mean, come on, what's bigger than this?
Okay, let me explain. If I were running Newt Gingrich's campaign, what I would talk about is the low unemployment when he was Speaker of the House, the balanced budgets that he created when he was Speaker of the House.
Yeah, but that was another time. Bill Clinton was president. So that's like saying Newt and Bill, it was a different world. It's like saying the 1950s we had a better economy when Eisenhower was president. This is a different time. Everything's changed. I don't see how that's relevant today.
It's the same Newt Gingrich, and it may be a different time, but if the press is going to – they can't contradict him. If he says we balanced the budget when I was Speaker of the House, they can't contradict him because he did balance the budget.
But the economy was different then, and you're comparing a decade and a half ago. What period are you talking about, 1994?
I understand that. No, it was even further along than that. He was Speaker of the House well up into the
All right, look, we're going to argue about it, but we're not going to get anywhere. Let's talk about electability. You take an old retread, a fat old white man like Newt Gingrich on a stage next to a thin, telegenic black man. Who wins? To the average idiot now, not to you or I, who's going to evaluate the policies of both men, but to the average fool who reads the New York Post or the Daily News, who looks at stories about a talentless nobody who has an overly large behind, an overly long name, and overly large lips. Tell me who they're going to vote for.
If the ads are
conducted properly, if they show
you could spend $1 billion on ads, Newt Gingrich still has to get up there and appear. And the minute the Pillsbury Doughboy appears on the stage, it's over.
If Newt Gingrich gets on there and says, balanced budget, this is what he accomplished.
If this guy lost 50 pounds, had a hair transplant, and took all the Viagra in Staten Island, he couldn't win. All right, thanks for the call. Look, we're going to go in circles now already. Let's go to the other topics. He's hideous. Let's put it to you that way. He is not a candidate that will be elected. He's not appealing to women. How many times do I have to say it to you? He's ugly. He turns women off and they vote. He turns women off. You know, it's like a movie star. There used to be a saying in the film business that I read about years later. I think it was Harry B. Mayer. I don't know, one of the early guys in the movies, when they had a starlet do a screen test, they asked one question. When you saw that woman on the screen, did the men want to sleep with her? That's all they asked. Unless a man wants to sleep with the star, she's not ever going to make it to the screen. You understand how this works? Now, let's reverse it with a candidate for the presidency, which is a division of Hollywood. The presidency of the United States is a division of the two men who run Hollywood, okay? Now, if a guy like Newt Gingrich gets up there, or anyone else, you have to ask yourself, could the women imagine having a romance with him? When it comes to the current president, the answer is yes. When it comes to the Newt, the answer is no, without getting overly graphic or overly burlesque about it. He's unelectable. I think that's how I see it. I don't know how else to put it. In other words, no matter how good his ideas were then, he's unelectable. Can we let it go with that? And also, his laying down in bed with Nancy Pelosi and doing that global warming yet is the end of the road for me. You know what I'm going to do before I take a caller? I want you to listen to Newt Gingrich's greatest stain, which is him getting up there and proposing the biggest lie of the century, the global warming scam, for which Al Gore should be imprisoned, by the way. Listen to this.
Hi, I'm Nancy Pelosi, lifelong Democrat and Speaker of the House.
And I'm Newt Gingrich, lifelong Republican, and I used to be Speaker.
We don't always see eye to eye, do we, Newt?
No, but we do agree our country must take action to address climate change.
We need cleaner forms of energy, and we need them fast.
If enough of us demand action from our leaders, we can spark the innovation we need.
Go to WeCanSolveIt.org.
All right, so there's Nancy Pelosi, the most hated woman in the history of American politics, with Newt Gingrich, I don't know when they did this, a year or so ago, putting forward the big lie about global warming in order to scam hundreds of millions or billions of dollars for their cronies, as far as I could tell. That's all this was. It's a scam. Thousands of reputable climate scientists and others in science have refuted this lie. And the fact of the matter is, the science is not established. The science is not accepted. This is an industry of lies, and it's an attempt to grab a good portion of the economies of the Western world and hijack them in the manner that the Solyndra loan was hijacked, okay, and others, $1.2 billion in guaranteed loans given to one of the Kennedys, Nancy Pelosi, $900 million to one of her relatives for another renewable energy thing. It's nonsense, utterly unbelievable. It's one of the greatest scams in the history of the world, and here was Newt Gingrich deeply enmeshed in it. So what can I say to you? In addition to being unappealing physically, he is unappealing on an ethical level, as far as I can tell. I don't even know why we're talking about him. This guy is an embarrassment. To even be running shows you that the man has no sense. All he's running for is to undermine Romney, and the reason he's doing it, in my estimation, is because the Democrats want him to do it. That's how I see it. He cannot win. He cannot win. He's doing it because he's got some kind of scam running with the Democrats who are running this country. Jerry in Las Vegas, do you agree or disagree? What's on your mind?
Absolutely, I agree, Doctor. There's a lady years ago who was one of the great minds of our country, Shirley Chisholm, and she couldn't get elected to a national office because of her being cosmetically unappealing. Now, I was going to mention that yesterday, Dr. Savage, but you had me cracking up when you did your impersonation of Barney Frank. I loved it.
Oh, you love that Barney thing? Yeah, Barney is one of the most corrupt individuals to have ever held a congressional seat, in my opinion. And yet the media presents him as some kind of rascal and just a little bit of a rascal.
But you know, and not just he talks like that, that you know that was him. You can tell by the way he talks that he's lying. It's not just, it's not his sexual orientation. It's the fact that his soul is completely disoriented. I mean, that's the issue about Barney Frank. It's not his sexual orientation that bothers me. I could care less what a man does with his body. The issue is his soul is completely warped and completely distorted. As far as I'm concerned, he should spend 50 years to 100 years in prison for what he did with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
Dr. Savage, I'm so much older than you, but you take me back when you do your stories. It's amazing. I'm from the ghettos of Chicago. You're from New York. It's amazing how similar our growth was back in the day.
Well, that's right. I grew up in the ghetto of New York. You know, I grew up when New York City's Lower East Side was a ghetto. I'm not saying I was that impoverished, but my dad's store was in the ghetto of Lower East Side, Ludlow Street. It was a total and absolute abject slum. And, you know, as the years evolved now, it's one of the most fashionable areas of Manhattan. In fact, I think his old store, which was really just a dump at the time, has become a very, very, very expensive bar, a boutique. God only knows what's on that street today. But I had quite an education, Jerry, in those streets. I learned an awful lot from the mean streets of Manhattan, so to speak. I learned an awful lot about human nature. And nothing has really changed, has it, Jerry? I mean, you could dress up a vampire, and they're still a vampire. Isn't that true?
No matter how you put lipstick on a pig, it's still a pig.
As well put. No one's ever improved on that one. I said dress on a vampire, but lipstick on a pig does it for me. Jerry, let me send you a copy of what? If you name it, you get it. What's it? You name it, you gain it.
Last time I spoke to you. Thank you.
Wait, well, hold on. Did you get a copy of Abuse of Power already?
You sent me a copy of Abuse of Power, yes.
Did you read it yet?
Oh, yeah, of course I read it.
I'll tell you what. I enjoy this so much, I'm sending you another one to give away to your girlfriend. I'll be right back.
Michael Savage. On the microphone, he will do damage. To all the fools, he will just ravage. His intelligence will definitely manage to take a stab, beat it up, and challenge all the crap that is wrong with the system. Turn your radio loud and listen to the voice of the man. All across, up and down the land. So just focus your concentration and be part of the Savage Nation.
I can't hear you.
Savage, Savage, Michael Savage. Borders, language, culture. Michael Savage.
Thank you, man. Petri is a listener to this show. He did that just for me, and I know it lit up the airwaves. I know it. I can see by the lights. And I know by your head, I mean, you're listening to this. It's amazing. And I really appreciate this man. I wish that it might have him on the show one of these days. He put this together just for you, for the listeners out there. So you had a third Harrodin accusing Cain now. Here is a woman surrounded with trouble in her entire life. And here you have the To Kill a Mockingbird story all over again. It's like a black man being accused of rape. And it's enough for the white liberal to lynch him. That's all. While all the scandals surrounding Obama are, they don't exist. It's astounding to me. Here's a woman who filed a sexual harassment claim against an employer in 01, which was settled. Here's a lowlife who filed for bankruptcy 21 years ago. Here's a lowlife who has eviction notices over the last 6 years, including this month. And this lowlife is now held up to the highest standards that journalism can bring us. Can you believe this? A judge's order says she libeled someone, and yet that's good enough for Wolf Blitzer. And yet, and the Republicans allow this twerp Blitzer to be the moderator. All right, everyone stand around. You know, unbelievable to me. Boston, Massachusetts, WRKO. WRKO, love that sound. Boston, Massachusetts, Nick, welcome to the show.
Hey, Doc Savage, it's my utmost pleasure to get the chance to speak with you. This is about Gingrich. People need to go back, just go on the internet, look around, and you're going to find out he's one of the major architects and one of the major magicians who made U.S. jobs disappear over the last 20 years. He was a NAFTA guy. He was a World Trade Organization guy. He was
Bingo.
A treaty guy.
Thank
asked,
you.
Right. He asked Carter, by the way, to create the Department of Ed. He was thick as thieves with the Clintons, and he was off of going into Blasio and is helping establish the first Muslim
That's
country.
Right. He's an insider. He's an old white wall that's rolled around the beltway too long, and I say let him go back where he came from. I wish him good luck. Let him make the millions of dollars a year that he's used to making by trading on his influence, but let him not pretend that he is a viable and legitimate candidate for the presidency of the United States of America. Nick, I'm sending you a free copy of Abuse of Power because, that's all, just because I can. We come back, we talk more about the Democrats and who placed Newt Gingrich where and why. They did it. They placed him in this position, in my estimation.
Savage.
I do not believe that the people of the United States are going to take people who've been here a quarter century, separate them from their families, and expel them.
Hi, I'm Poppin' Fresh, the Pillsbury Doughboy.
Woohoo!
All right, look, you can be comedic in the political arena all you want, but the fact of the matter is I believe Newt Gingrich was selected, handpicked by the Democrats in order to neutralize some of the candidates and to be an attack dog against Romney. And you've seen nothing yet. What's coming in May will surprise you, but won't surprise me. Some third-party candidates will throw 10-15% of the vote and hand it to Obama in order to get favors from the Democrats. That's what I see happening. It happened with Perot. I was early in radio at the time. I remember that very distinctly. We all love Ross Perot. Remember he came around and he had that refreshing tone of a businessman. Now I've looked under the hood of that car and I see what's wrong and I can put the screwdriver in there and I can fix that car. Remember that? We loved the guy. He was an American, authentic American guy. And what he did was he was working for Clinton. And I said, wait a minute, something's wrong here. And how did I put together in a reverse engineering that's the case? I'll give you two reasons why. I'll give you two exact reasons why I knew Perot was working with the Democrats. One, because he was the chairman of many companies, including EDS, if I can remember correctly, a data service system. He said, well, what does it have to do with anything? I looked into it at the time. I'm talking 15 years ago when I just started the radio. Ross Perot ran, I think, EDS. I'm not exactly sure, but it was a data processing firm that processed all of the welfare checks for the United States of America, amongst other things, if I'm not mistaken. So in other words, if he wanted to hold on to the contract with the Democrat-controlled government, they said to him, tell you what you're going to do, it's a little favor. You're going to come along and you're going to run for office. You're going to excite the voters. You're going to get the crackers to come out of the woodwork and vote for you. You're going to suck enough percentage off from the Republican candidate who might win. And then you can go back and you'll get the contract. At least that's what I thought at the time. Well, what happened? Soon thereafter, you never heard from him again, right? Disappeared. But he didn't lose the contract, so far as I know. You're going to have the same exact thing occurring again this year in the spring. Mark my words. Mark my words. Write it down. You'll see what's coming. Waco, California. Didn't know there was such a place. Joy, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Well, Dr. Savage, I think the Democratic Party, through the media, has effectively taken Kane out of the mix, the one breath of fresh air in the lineup of Republican candidates.
That's correct.
And they have placed Newt Gingrich, their pick for the man to run against the president. They've put him right where they want him as supposedly.
I agree. Newt neutralized Kane in order to destroy the Republicans' chances altogether.
And as a woman, I no one's mentioned this, but what kind of name is Newt? I don't know if I could stand. Hi, I'm Newt.
President Newt. Yeah, I mean, we had enough with Barack. That's one thing, but we've gotten used to it by now because all Barack means is basically the blessed one or blessed, I think. Blessed means that in Hebrew and Arabic. It's derived from the Hebrew, incidentally. So it's not a word that offends me particularly. But okay, we've gotten used to it, but I don't think we can get used to Newt.
No, I can't. And do you really think I don't know what's going on in the Republican Party. I tend to be an independent conservative like you, but I don't see any candidate coming forth. I think the Republican
we need a gluten-free candidate, and what we're getting is the high-fat variety. Is that a better way to put it?
Well, that's true. I don't.
We need a gluten-free, low-fat, low-cholesterol candidate, and all they're giving us is old-fashioned mayonnaise and marmalade.
Well, he's an establishment Republican.
No, the truth is he's an insider's insider. He has been around too long. God bless him. He's entitled to make a living and ply his trade and, you know, sell his influence, but he's not entitled to try and fool all the people all of the time. And as Abe Lincoln said, you can fool some of the people some of the time and some of the people all the time, but you can't fool the savage people any of the time, and he doesn't fool me for 1 second.
And the other point, when you said that liberalism is a mental disease, I never really got that for a while until the last year or two, and I have seen it. What kind of psychosis in the mind of these liberals where they attack Cain for supposed sexual impropriety, and yet on the other side they glorify every sexual deviant and put
that is correct. I thought that if it feels good, do it. Why not let it all hang out? There should be no controls on your sexual urges. Barney Frank, but Cain? All you need to do is have a whiff of a scandal and they turn it into something real. I get it. It's not a double standard. It's beyond that.
It's a psychosis. It's a mental disorder.
Listen, the best soundbite that typifies liberalism, the mental disorder, would be the one I played yesterday. Did you hear my show yesterday where we had the kid whining in the streets of Occupy, one of the cities, when they took down his free library? Did you hear the kid crying about his little library in the gutter? Did you hear this one?
Absolutely, sir.
Well, hold, Joy, guys, you have that one ready. It's us. You got to listen to this. What city was this, Beowulf? This is Toronto, Canada. It's one of the stupid, useful idiots of a kid, a sniveling, useless idiot. Here is the voice of liberalism, the mental disorder.
We're not hurting anyone. We just want to be here and meet each other and learn together. We just want to try and build a new world.
We just want to try to build a new world. And so did Adolf Hitler, and so did Joseph Stalin. And with a little help from the useful idiots like him, they certainly built a new world, didn't they, Joy?
Absolutely. Thank you, Dr. Savage.
Thank you. It's good to talk with you. It truly is. 1-800-449-8255. Let us go to the callers around the nation, around the land. If you want to reach more people than you'll speak with for the rest of your life, as my old friend Bill used to say, frankly, you should call the Savage Nation and see if you can pass Doug Lynn's catcher. He's the catcher in the rye for me. It's very funny. He's the call screener, but he is like the catcher in the rye. What did they mean by the catcher in the rye, Beowulf? What was that metaphor about? You know what that actually? What did that stand for in that novel? Well, who was the catcher in the rye? What was it for? To keep kids from falling over the cliff?
That's right.
Is that what it was?
It was from the song "When a Body Meets a Body Coming Through the Rye," and he felt like
when a what?
It's an old Scottish song. "When a Body Meets a Body Coming Through the Rye," and that song went through his mind, and he felt like he was the guy who was catching the kids before they went over the cliff.
He went over the cliff by running through the rye. They didn't know what was on the end of the rye field. Correct.
Exactly. That's right.
All right. Well, Doug Lynn is my catcher in the rye. New York City, WOR, Ellen. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thank you very much, Dr. Savage. You know, with all this sex garbage, that every time I open up my internet and I see such horrible stuff, what's the problem that Herman Cain had a girlfriend? What's wrong with it?
You know, it's an interesting statement, and I'll remain neutral on that issue because I'll tell you, you sound like a woman probably of a senior status, correct?
I'm not so old. I'm in my 60s.
No, okay, you're not. Okay, so you're actually younger than I thought. My mother, may she rest in peace, was a lifetime Democrat because she grew up in the Depression. To her, it was nothing. So during the years when Clinton was caught with Monica Lewinsky and all the other women, and I raised the issue to her, you know, she sounded exactly like you. She said, so what's the big deal? She said, they all do it. That's what she said to me.
Yeah, what's the problem? I saw yesterday, I have to say this, you've been mentioning this woman with the fat lips, with a long name.
Yeah.
She was having a yoga class in her gorgeous apartment. There were four or five women together.
Yeah.
Doing yoga classes. They were wearing very skimpy bikinis.
Well, what is the obsession with this woman with the overly large behind, the overly large lips, and the overly long name? Why is America obsessed with this creature?
I don't know. They're really brainwashed. But let me just tell you this, because this is unbelievable. You wouldn't imagine this. So they have an instructor. The husband comes home,
yeah,
and he kind of walks into this yoga room because, you know, it's his wife, it's his home.
Yeah.
He walks in, and he looks in, and he quickly slams the shut, the door shut, goes out. Why? Because the instructor was a black man. The yoga instructor was a black man, but he was naked. He was giving them yoga classes naked.
That's what they had on television?
That's what I saw on the internet yesterday.
Well, what can I say? I'm speechless. Maybe he should run for the president.
So what?
And they're not implying that was Herman Cain in his off hours, are they? I mean, that wasn't the implication.
No. It was a regular.
It wasn't Herman Cain doing a commercial for yoga, I hope. I mean, I don't know what you...
No.
Oh, come on. I'm just pulling you like it. Look, we can both agree on certain things, but Cain's ideas were quite good. It's true that it was rather simplistic, the 999 thing. But in the long and short of it, he would have been as good a president as any of them, if not better. Truthfully, I would have slept better at night with him as president than I would with Newt Gingrich. Do you feel the same way?
With anyone else.
Than with anyone else. Yes, in a way, that's true. I don't think he would put the nation's interests second to the interests of those who put him in power. Okay, let's put it that way. Ellen, you're a wonderful listener. Sending you a copy for Christmas of Abuse of Power. Stay in the line. Let us go now to Sacramento, California, the land of the moonbeam. Alex, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Oh, hi, Mike. What they've done to Herman Cain is the same thing what they did in Soviet Union to preachers like my grandfather. What he did, he went to villages, places, and he preached, and he started new churches. And
yes.
He was successful.
Yes.
And because he was successful, they could just kill him, but it wouldn't stop what he started. So what they done, they discredited him. They found, they emplaced their people in the church.
No.
Then they found women who accused my grandfather, who he was sleeping with them, and he was destroyed.
Yes. Well, that's how the Soviets operate then, and how the Soviets operate today through the Democrat Party. You know and I know that both parties are rather, let's say, deficient in so many ways, but the Democrats are closer to the Soviet model, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yes, it's the same thing.
Yeah, and it's standard operating procedure for guys like Chris Matthews to operate like an ex-Soviet. There's no question a man like him would have been very happy working for Beria. You know who I'm talking about, right?
Yes.
Yeah, a guy like Chris Matthews would have been very happy cooperating with Beria or any of the other secret agencies of the ex-Soviet Union. They probably would have done so with vigor, too, seeing people suffer in torture chambers. But that there's neither here nor there. We understand what we're dealing with here. I don't know how Cain took it so long, frankly, if he leaves. I don't know how the man could take these slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. Sending you a copy of Abuse of Power, stay in the line. Ricky, Pennsylvania, thanks for calling. You're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I just wanted to say I agree with you 100% against that clip earlier with Newt Gingrich and Pelosi. I mean, that said it all. They're lifetime Dems, they're lifetime Repubs, and as you stated before, it's all one. There is no two parties. They're in it to win it and make lots of money together.
Yeah, and here's the thing. That's right. They're in it for one reason, which is to get together and screw the American people. There's no question about it. And so a guy like Cain comes along, who's an independent guy. Maybe he wasn't the brightest man on earth, but he was certainly brighter than a lot of them. And he had a legitimate master's degree in computer science, a legitimate bachelor's in mathematics. He was bright enough, okay? And they castigated and destroyed him because he was an independent and he was threatening the power structure. That's why this is happening. Now, to add insult to injury, they then bring up an old hack like this guy, Newt Gingrich, and they want us to believe he is again a viable candidate for the presidency. I don't believe so.
It's a shame.
Well, stay in the line, free copy of Abuse of Power. For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, America is buzzing about the soundbite of Newt Gingrich getting together with Nancy Pelosi, I think about a year ago, to put forward the big lie of global warming in order to scam the American taxpayer for trillions of dollars on this fantasy and to push us toward these green companies like Solyndra, which went bankrupt with $533 million missing. Listen to Newt Gingrich and Nancy Pelosi in one of the greatest propaganda ads ever created. Listen.
Hi, I'm Nancy Pelosi, lifelong Democrat and Speaker of the House.
And I'm Newt Gingrich, lifelong Republican, and I used to be Speaker.
We don't always see eye to eye, do we, Newt?
No, but we do agree our country must take action to address climate change.
We need cleaner forms of energy, and we need them fast.
If enough of us demand action from our leaders, we can spark the innovation we need.
Go to WeCanSolveIt.org. Together, we can do this.
Yeah, go to WeCanScamIt.org and see what you can find. WeCanScamIt.org, courtesy of Newt Gingrich. All right, let's go back to the callers now. Houston, Texas. Some would call it Houston, Texas, but those would be people who eat in Katz's on Ludlow Street. Let's go to Ted on line four. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. I think that this anybody but Romney thing within the Republican Party is really naive, and they're really underestimating Romney's abilities. And
I agree with you. At this point, I agree with you. And I've said many times, he is a good man. He is too liberal for me in many ways. But by God, if that's all we're going to get, I'll take him over Obama, wouldn't you?
Definitely. And I think that the thing they're underestimating with him is that he's a very, very intelligent person. And yes, he's changed some positions along the way, but they're crucifying him for it. In reality, this guy is pretty smart. He's not going to come out and say, I will do this.
He's a liberal Republican in the Rockefeller mode, and I'm not going to sit here and say that I agree with any of that. But the fact of the matter is, we're going to get maybe 50, 55% of what we want from a guy like Romney. However, let me say this, and it's very important. I had dinner with the man, which is very important to me. I looked up on the internet everything I could find about him. He has a wonderful family. There's not a scintilla of scandal with any of his children. That tells you an awful lot about the man, don't you think, Ted?
Yeah, absolutely.
No, really. I mean, let's not push this aside. I'm a big family man. You look at a man who raised, I think, five sons, and all of them are straight up good. They're like Boy Scouts, wonderful families themselves. This is a real American story. The fact of the matter is, when it comes to an issue such as national security, I would sleep better at night with him as commander-in-chief than I would with Barack Hussein Obama as commander-in-chief. How about you?
No, absolutely I would. And I think,
you know, that right now we have the smallest Navy since 1930. Did you know that, Ted, what Obama's done to the Navy?
Yes.
We have the smallest Navy since 1930. Okay? Put that in your pipe and smoke it with your medical marijuana. I'll be right back.
Michael Savage, on the microphone he will do damage. To all the fools, he will just ravage. His intelligence will definitely manage to take a stand, beat it up, and challenge all the crap that is wrong with the system. Turn your radio loud and listen to the voice of the man. All across, up and down the land. So just focus your concentration and be part of the Savage Nation.
Welcome back to the program. It's an amazing time. As the ancient Greek philosophers said, it is good to live in interesting times, and we certainly are living in interesting times. As I have said many times on this program, my only hope, and although I'm a pessimist to a certain extent, there is always a degree of optimism within my pessimism, and I have to be this way in order to get through a day. Truthfully, I'm just like you in the sense that I'm an American with a lot at stake. I've invested my entire hope, all of my hopes and all of my dreams in the future of this nation. It's for my family that I dream about the future of the nation, that the corrupt will truly be punished, that they will be brought down, that there is justice in the world, that all of these high and mighty Caesars will be brought before the public and be punished for what they're doing to us, whether they be the corrupt Wall Street bankers or the congressmen or the senators or all the way up to the top itself. We all pray for those days of justice. But the fact of the matter is, it's unlikely for us to see justice done on this planet. And yet we have to live through seeing a decent man like Herman Cain being destroyed because he is an independent, because he is not a Democrat truly or a Republican truly, and because he was a threat to the government media complex, to the system itself with the most powerful economy on earth. Do you think that they're going to let a man who came out of nowhere get anywhere near the Treasury when they've been doing so well, robbing us blind for all of these decades? Do you think they're going to let a man like that get near the Treasury when they've been doing so well, literally pillaging us for every cent they could grab as fast as they can grab it? Newt Gingrich, shame on you for thinking that you can pull the wool over Michael Savage's eyes. You know, as Abe Lincoln taught me personally, You can fool some of the people some of the time, Newt, and you can fool some of the people all of the time, Newt, but you can't fool this guy any of the time, Newt. Go back and roll around the beltway like the retread you are, because you're not welcome in the Savage Nation.
Savage. Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Now, as you know, the retreaded white wall tire, Newt Gingrich, claims to be the most electable candidate, which is the furthest thing from the truth. He is the least electable of all the candidates because of his baggage and the fact that his baggage has baggage. What more do I need to tell you than he did an ad claiming there was global warming with none other than Nancy Pelosi? Newt Gingrich and Nancy Pelosi in a climate change ad, which we have been playing today on The Savage Nation, and I think you should listen to it right now.
Hi, I'm Nancy Pelosi, lifelong Democrat and Speaker of the House.
And I'm Newt Gingrich, lifelong Republican, and I used to be Speaker.
We don't always see eye to eye, do we, Newt?
No, but we do agree our country must take action to address climate change.
We need cleaner forms of energy, and we need them fast.
If enough of us demand action from our leaders, we can spark the innovation we need.
Go to WeCanSolveIt.org. Together, we can do this.
Here are some of the questions we've been covering on today's program. Another woman comes forward and accuses Herman Cain of a 13-year extramarital affair. Now, the woman has a long history of lawsuits and harassment. To me, this is right out of the Stalinist protocols. And it seems to be having its toll on Herman Cain. Now, who do you believe, the accuser or Cain? Why do you believe so many women are coming forward with accusations against Cain at once? Do you believe that they're real accusations, or is this an orchestrated racist campaign by white liberal Democrats? Mr. Cain is currently reassessing his run for the presidency. Do you believe he will drop out? Who is most to blame for the demise of Herman Cain's candidacy? The leftist media, his Republican opponents, or Herman Cain himself? Today, of course, it's been a nightmare. The Stalinist cable news channels have been filled with nothing but the sentencing of the doctor who killed Michael Jackson. This is a complete and total government media complex cover-up. Because at the while this is going on, the world is burning. Iranians have invaded and destroyed the British embassy in Tehran. The last Jews of Baghdad are being hunted down by the Muslims. Thank you, Jimmy Carter. Do you believe Great Britain and the U.S. will be in war with Iran within the next 6 months? American Airlines has declared bankruptcy as a result of the unions refusing to give up their inflated salaries and benefits. We're just finding out the size of the massive bailout loans that the Federal Reserve gave to friends in the banking industry in 08. Ben Bernanke and Tim Geithner deliberately hid this information from the American people. Who is most to blame for the sacking of the American Treasury? And why are they not indicted? Now let's go to michaelsavage.com and see what's made it up there. There's so much information. Sanitizing Barney Frank. They're calling him a lovable rascal. Many of us know he's a criminal. Or think he is, anyway. They've sanitized Barney Frank and made him into a lovable rascal. But this is not about being lovable nor about being a rascal. This is about something much deeper. He's not a lovable rascal. The official liberal mainstream media line on the retiring congressman is all about coziness, but they ignore Barney Frank's role in subsidizing the housing bubble, his coziness with the very industry he was regulating, his million-dollar investments in an industry he worked to boost. There's a lot more. There's an awful lot more. They're covering for him because he's a gay. There's no question about it. And that's why the left-wing media covers for him. There's a double standard, as you well know. But the fact of the matter is there's been an unethical blending of his sex life and his congressional privileges. That's the real story here. And you shouldn't overlook it. No one should be given a pass because of their sexual orientation or in spite of their sexual orientation. You know, if there's wrongdoing, there's wrongdoing. And nobody should be above the law. But, of course, as you well know, the Stalinist media has special favorites. What else is on michaelsavage.com? Well, you'll have to go there yourself to find out. I'll go there with you if you wish. Okay, here's what else is on michaelsavage.com. The last Jews of Baghdad fear for their lives after being named by WikiLeaks. Can you believe this? They gave out their names and addresses. Julian Assange and WikiLeaks should be arrested for crimes against humanity. Congress lifts horse slaughter ban. Democrats and Republicans decided that it's okay to kill horses. No sex pleas were Japanese. Country heads for extinction as survey reels young people are shunning marriage. How do you like that one? Four dead churches burned in Muslim attacks in Nigeria. Christian worker loses job after being targeted by Islamic extremists. Doesn't bother you yet, though, right? What's more important is Michael Jackson's doctor. That's all you care about. Maxine Waters, that paragon of virtue, is in line to take over from the other paragon of virtue, Bonnie Frank, on the Financial Services Committee. Can you believe this country? Rockets fired across Lebanon-Israel border.
I've spent the last 3 weeks building this library into a place where people can come together, where they can just share ideas, where they can meet each other, and where they can just be in peace together. And now it's all being torn apart for no good reason. We're not hurting anybody here. We're not hurting anyone. We just want to be here and meet each other and learn together. We just want to try and build a new world.
Come on, that's ridiculous. But identity theft is something you have to take seriously. What if someone stole your credit cards and tried to destroy your life? Don't be a victim. Call my advertiser, LifeLock, today. Call LifeLock now at 1-800-LOCK-485 and get 60 risk-free days just for Savage listeners. 1-800-LOCK-485. Call them now. Gallup says Obama's approval is too low for re-election. Gallup is saying that? That's amazing. Norway mass killer, remember him? Likely won't go to prison. Mental health care instead. American Airlines files for bankruptcy protection. All of this and more, it's really important you go to michaelsavage.com every day and see all these important stories. And again, I want to remind you, as we approach the Christmas holidays, the first printing is almost gone. Buy your rare first printing of Abuse of Power while copies last. I'll be right back right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Sacramento, I got to take your call. Go ahead, please. Steve, go ahead. What's on your mind?
Oh, hi. I think the portal in your dream represents an airplane door, and the invisible hands are that of all of your family who want you to take that trip to Sardinia, and simply you just want to stay home and take care of Teddy and Tasha.
Oh, that's so prosaic. I love it. It makes me feel better. I'm not having to carry the world on my shoulders.
Well, and then God in the dream is saying, don't worry, Mike. Your family will keep your family safe while they're away, and there might be somebody.
That is amazing. Well, come on, it can't be the trip to Sardinia, because the imagery was so clearly Egyptian, and that's number one. It had nothing to do with Sardinia. There was no imagery from Sardinia. It was clearly Egyptian symbolism, number one. Number two, I didn't say I want to stay home to take care of my dog. I screamed to the invisible forces in my subconscious, no, you can't take me. I want to see my children. I want to see my children. And I remember thinking while I was doing it, Steve, that I have read of people who were being sucked into the next world in some, while their life was being, hanging in the balance. And the thing that pulled them back from the other side was their children, that they wanted to stay here for their children. So as much as I would like to take the lightweight view that you have presented, I can't accept that. I really can't. Let's go to Sacramento, California. K-Mal, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I've been a longtime listener of your show, sir, for the last 7 years now, And
thank you.
I want to make a comment about Herman Cain because I am black, I'm a conservative, and I'm a Christian. I grew up around people like Herman Cain, and when I see these vicious attacks by the white liberals coming out of him, it just makes me cringe. But let me tell you something. There is some hope, though. There is some hope in the fact that he's rolling on.
But don't you agree the reason he hasn't cracked from all of this, all of these lies, is because he has faith in God and a loving wife who he really does love? I think that's why he's able to go on.
You're absolutely correct, Dr. Savage, and he's going to keep going on. And I have some hope that he can win. The other folks are done. They're through and finished, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I would say Perry is finished. Romney is looking very, very much stronger every day, because Romney's playing the presidential role. He's not attacked Cain when he was given the bait yesterday by the lowlifes from CNBC. He wouldn't take the bait. And so Romney's looking very good. But the Tea Party people, meaning the real conservatives in America, are really not enamored of Romney. But let's go back to Mr. Cain. You agree with me that they're after him, one, because he's a conservative, two, because he's black, and three, because he's a true Christian. Wouldn't you say those are the three reasons?
Dr. Savage, you're absolutely right, because when I was going to school in about 15, 20 years ago in high school and college, I've been around these white liberals, and the people have called me and said I'm an Oreo cookie and tell me that I'm black on the outside and white on the inside. It's just absolutely.
But you see how you're laughing? Because you have a good sense of humor. You never let it get to you. You don't have the same nasty nature as some of the race hustlers out there who most of us detest. And you had to overcome all of that hazing from your own people, let alone white people who may not have liked you.
Oh, I've got it from both sides, sir. Both sides.
Yeah. Did you hear the caller yesterday who said Herman Cain is not a real black man because he's like a white man? Did you hear that caller by any chance?
I've heard many calls like that, sir.
I could not believe what she was saying. I was saying, what, you mean he has to be an angry, screaming, threatening race hustler to be a real black? That's what I said to her.
He doesn't act like the hustler in the White House, Barack Hussein Obama, who's an absolute, he's just an absolute Trojan horse.
I agree. You talk about a man who's hustled his whole life using the race card. It's Barry Obama.
You're absolutely right. And when he hung around people like Dr. Cornel West and Louis Farrakhan, Jeremiah Wright, who are all race hustlers in a high Jesse.
Yeah, Cornel West is like a grade Z mentality who has gotten by with his threats, his intimidation. And that whole buck tooth thing, you know, always doing that tooth thing on everybody and that yelling and that screaming and scaring the white liberals at Harvard. That guy's a Harvard professor like my poodle is.
You're absolutely right.
That's some Harvard professor. All he does is threaten everybody, and every day he's held up as some role model. No, he's not my kind of candidate, by the way, and I mean a candidate for academic distinction.
Right.
Listen, my friend, we are living through very, very strange times. And all I can offer you is what I have written with One From the Heart, Abuse of Power, my thriller. I'm going to send it out to you right now because I hear that the first printing is almost gone. And I really am telling you, if you're going to buy one for the holidays, you're waiting. I know money is tight. You should do it in the next couple of days, I would think. I don't know if they're going to get a second printing out in time. And you're going to want to have the first printing. Because the first printing of Abuse of Power, just think about what that's going to be worth. On eBay in the third millennium. Just think about what it's going to be worth in the year 3000. if the paper and the ink are still standing. I'm feeling a little giddy today. And I tell you why. I'm following up with yesterday. I can't go into it in total detail. My agent called me and he said, they're so in love with you. The publishers are so in love with you. They're begging me to send anything that you have for your next book. So I got to tell you something. I know I'm prolific. I know I've been writing all of my life. I went into another storage bin just yesterday, and I found 10 new novellas that I had written during my lean years when I was still trying to be discovered, long before radio, while I was struggling as a corporate consultant and as a nutrition writer. I was writing amazing things. I couldn't believe it. I can't believe it. I guess I have to tell you how excited I am to find my own work. And so instead of writing something new, I'm going to tell my agent, look, I want to write, I really want to publish the unpublished works of Michael Savage in one volume. They're astounding. Some of them are amazing. I can't. Should I read you the titles? I know many of you would like to hear it, but I'm afraid if I do, someone will steal the titles because I'm a genius at titles and I can't just give them away. I can't give them away on the show. I'd love to. I'm not trying to bait you. I just can't do it. If I read some of these titles, you wouldn't believe how good they are. Look at this. I can't wait to read them myself. What is this? Oh, no. Come on. This is so timely. It's frightening. Wait a minute now. What is this one? Hold on now. I can't get... Wait. Oh, no. Come on. I'm going to read you a line. I swear to God. This is called The Molester, or Innocence the Aphrodisia. This book, this small story or novella was written, I don't even know the year, I can't find the year, but I'm going to read you a line, and then I've got to stop because I'm shocked by what I have here. Are you ready for this? It's about a football player who turns out to be a molester. Or is it about a coach who turns out to be a molester of boys? Yes, and it's a sergeant who's on his trail. How did I write that so many years ago? I don't know. I don't know what it has to do with anything else, but I just can't believe this. Because it's so timely, it's shocking. It's written in the words of a chief inspector who says, I first came into this case when the chief inspector called me to piece together this battered body of that boy you read about, Joey Adams. They found him in pieces, his skull a jigsaw only the demented bastard who took him apart could figure out. It was a sexual abuser who took him. Not your money-sick kidnapper, but the truly sick. The pathologs you pass every day, in the bank, at the supermarket, at the office. The crazy sons of bees who pass for normal are usually the worst mutilators. At least that's been my observation here at the morgue in the lower basement of Buena Vista Hospital. Sergeant, Thursday in the morning, the sergeant bellowed down the stairs, Hal, they've just found another one. Well, there it is. And he's a forensic anthropologist, this cop. The muscles tensed in his jaws and neck. The old footballer getting ready to squash the other player, probably from Stanford. Johnson stamping the good old dirt of Berkeley like a native black bull, which he was. See, it's very good stuff. Written maybe 25 years ago. I have so many unpublished, rejected manuscripts that are exciting to me right now for a number of reasons. Because all of the editors whose rejection letters I have attached to the manuscripts are dead or gone. And I'm still here, I swear to you. All of the editors who rejected me 20 years ago, no one knows them, and they're all dead. And now the people who've taken their jobs are clamoring for my work. I want to live another 20 years. I've got to see this. I've got to see it come out. I'll be right back. I got to stop.
Savage.
Evangelical Christians, ever since the disaster of Jimmy Carter, have voted for Republicans. But there are some who claim to be evangelical Christians moving back into the leftist Jimmy Carter camp. Joining us right now to discuss this on the Savage Nation is Doug Weed, a columnist for the American Conservative. Doug Weed, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's great to talk to you.
You write about the six canons of conservatism. In your mind, what are they and why are they important?
The author of this book, Hart, really borrows from Russell Kirk, and he's kind of the philosophical foundation for what Hart's writing on. And he talks about a belief in the transcendent order, or you could call it the body of natural law, which rules society and conscience. About the affection for the variety and the mystery of human existence as opposed to uniformity or egalitarianism. And third, he talks about the conviction that civilized society requires orders and classes. Fourth, that freedom and property are very closely linked. You really can't have one without the other. And five, that custom and convention are coupled with a distrust of economists and calculators. And finally, sixth, Kirk wrote a lot about this whole idea that hasty innovation, or just wanting change for change's sake, is not necessarily progress. And so Hart builds on these
these foundations?
Well, I think that they are important. However, I don't know that they're necessarily important for gauging where the modern born-again movement or evangelical Christian movement goes. They're just totally Christo-centered, and they see the Bible itself. They're literalists, and if they aren't literalists, they are literal in their belief that the Bible should be the basis of their philosophy to life. And it's rooted in their experience. They have this born-again experience. Describe it how you will, but it's something that happens. There's a release of endorphins in the brain. There's something chemical. There's adrenaline. There's something so powerful that they can go to Harvard and take a class in biology and get an A and still believe that the earth was created in 6 days, if they choose to believe that. So it's a very powerful experience. And when they go to Scripture and they read Scripture, they encounter and meet other people, some of them thousands of years old, who are saying things that resonate with them. And as a result, they buy everything else they have to say, whether it may be on homosexuality or any other issue. While you have some early Christians, pilgrims that came to America, who had experienced the power of the church in ruling and having temporal power as well as theological power, and they didn't want that. They wanted states with some independence. They were tired of waking up in the morning, finding out they were Catholic instead of Protestant or the other way around, saying, will you please make up your mind and please stop killing us. They wanted this religious freedom. So you have people in America who are constitutionalists, and you have other people who have had this spiritual awakening, and basically they want to seize power and govern according to the Bible.
Doug, you write that some evangelicals have difficulty being politically conservative, but shouldn't all evangelicals be politically conservative?
They aren't necessarily so, and they don't, and I don't think they're even aware of it. Because if the Bible itself is not necessarily American conservative, now all of these things are relative terms, as you know. A conservative is liberal in spending money for defense. So you have to be liberal or conservative about something. There has to be a point of reference, and usually the point of reference in this debate is the use of government to address our needs, and liberals are liberal in the use of government to address our needs, and conservatives are conservatives. So the Christians, sometimes they come with a totally different perspective, and sometimes they will defy the movement conservatives and the traditional conservatives and find themselves suddenly liberal in some area. And that's what this book is all about. This book is showing that it's not a perfect fit.
Why might some evangelicals be going back into the leftist Jimmy Carter camp? Is it the dollars?
Because they're marching to the trumpet of Scripture, and there is that rationale. Now, there's this long tradition, this experience of the social gospel, which came to the United States, along with new German doctrines and theologies that were very liberal, that questioned the virgin birth. So at the time, 80% of America, this is the turn of the 19th century, 80% of America or more lives in the farms, is rural. They saw these ideas coming out of the cities, coming from the bishops, as a threat to their faith, and they confused them with the social gospel, because in the city you not only had these new theologies and these new philosophies, but you had urban crime, you had child labor, you had a new kind of poverty, and so there was a rise of social consciousness. So liberalism in theology became associated with what we today call liberalism politically in America. The two became one. So they were demonized in the minds of rural America. America, which was more conservative. These issues, these social issues, were less urgent and important. But today, now, as these issues, drugs and other issues of the city, have encroached on suburbia, where the conservatives live, and in rural America, some of them, their social conscience is pricked, and they see a scriptural rationale for liberal policies.
Well, just how important are evangelical Christians to the Republican Party? Can the party survive without them?
They are huge. And, you know, there's an old saying that a frog doesn't jump unless it has a place to land. If the Republican Party is going to get rid of the evangelicals, they better have something gigantic to take their place, or they're doomed to failure, because the Democrats are beginning to understand and realize there has been no Democrat president elected in modern times without getting a piece of the evangelical vote. The last time a candidate actually ran against evangelicals and made it part of his policy was Walter Mondale, whose father was a Lutheran pastor and who resented the evangelical pastors who'd come to town. He told me in interviews, you know, they'd put up their tent and scare everybody and take their money and leave town. He was very upset. So he publicly campaigned against evangelical Christians and named some of their prominent leaders of influence and campaign speeches and attacked them, and he barely carried the state of Minnesota. So you're talking about the number of born-again Christians in America is 48%. You have to be very careful in hearing data from the networks and from newspapers, because they're so ignorant of Christianity, they don't know what questions to ask. For example, if you see any poll that says, based on the number of evangelicals in America, ignore it. It has no relevancy, because if you interview someone coming out of a Nazarene church and you say to them, or out of a polling booth, and you say to them, are you an evangelical Christian, it's like asking them, are you phlegmatic? You know, they might know what you mean, but they might not know what you mean, and they might say, no, I'm not phlegmatic, and they may be. So all they know is they go to the Southern Baptist Church or the Assembly of God Church, or many of them don't know what you mean by evangelical, and so your answer is going to be skewed. If you ask the question, are you a born-again Christian, then they know what you mean, because they know that experience, and 48% of the American people will say yes. For the Republican Party to wholesale abandon the evangelicals or the born-again Christians is madness. To an extent, the Republican Party has never fully accepted them. And I remember I worked for years for Lee Atwater, and he could see the numbers growing, and he could see the polling. Our own polling showed it. But it wasn't what he wanted. It was a disappointment to him that he had to bring in all these blue-haired old women and make them part of his coalition. But the Democrats had the same choice at the beginning of the 19th century, when immigration, all these Catholics came to the United States, and they smelled of steerage, they had their own language, they smelled of garlic, they had their own recipes, they were Italian, they were Irish, there was all kinds of bigotry against them and toward them. They had fanatics that marched on Broadway and shut down Broadway shows. They had radio preachers that preached and promoted Batista and promoted Franco in Spain and attacked FDR as a communist. It was very much like the religious right, but the Democrats accepted them and made allies out of these new Catholic voters from Italy, from Poland in the Chicago area, from Ireland and New York, and they became part of FDR's great coalition. And they learned to get along with them and to absorb them and bring them into the party. And the Republicans are going to have to do that, because the Democrats now, Democrat presidents like Clinton, like Obama, Carter, the ones who've been elected understand evangelicals, and they understand that they don't have to win all the evangelicals. They only have to get a piece, and they can win.
And they're going to get a piece from now on out because they know what to do. I mean, Obama has his Joshua program. He has an Assembly of God kid in there that runs it. He knows what he's doing, and he knows that he has to work hard, but all he needs is a little piece of the evangelical vote. The Republicans need them all.
Doug Weed, thanks for joining us today on the Savage Nation.
My website is dougweed.com. It's W-E-A-D, by the way. And thank you, Michael. This was great.
This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
I think the problem is that the poor children, keep in mind it's 42% of poor children who live at or near poverty. It's 25% in poverty. Our audience needs to keep that in mind. But poor children need more than just $1,000 for their family. They need a war against poverty to make it a major priority in the way in which we had a priority for Afghanistan, a priority to bail out banks, and a priority to defend corporate interests when it comes to environmental issues. It's a major question of priorities here. That's why the Occupy movement is so important, because some of this is going to be fought in the streets.
What's going on with my memory today? I didn't have enough tea. I need to drink my Godfrey. I need to have a Godfrey. That's, you know, something that's very funny, to change the word of things, like change a verb into something else, change a verb into a noun. Like, I want my Godfrey. I can have a cup of Godfrey. That's a funny line that you would see in fiction written by Anthony Burgess, who wrote one amazing novels like A Clockwork Orange. I mean, I used to love reading Burgess. I myself don't read much fiction. I swear to God, I don't. I'm a movie fanatic. And this is something I must admit to you in advance. My mind has always been pictographic. That's why I'm good on the radio. In other words, when I speak with you and you're listening to me, you actually see images. Now, that's true with any language. Language is imagery. But I am more so pictographic than most people in the media. I just have an innate ability to speak in images, okay? So that's why many of you who like to read or watch movies like the radio show that I do, because I speak to you in images, right? So the novel that I wrote, it's my first published novel. I've written fiction since I'm 16 years old, all unpublished. Most of it was maudlin crap. You know, the woe is me kind of stuff that people sit and write in cafes today. Mainly girls who don't have a boyfriend. They want to be found in a cafe by some guy who takes pity on them, sitting there scribbling in a cafe with tattoos on their brain. They may not have any ink on their body, but their brains are all inked up. You know what I'm saying? Their brains are inked up with despair. And they want some guy to notice them, and they're scribbling in a journal. They don't look at anyone. They get mad at you for sitting in the restaurant, a cafe, as though you're not supposed to be there. My thought on that always has been, excuse me, if my conversation is disturbing your journal writing or your fiction writing, then why don't you write at home? What are you doing here? It's a public place. So I tend to get louder at that point until they leave, because I'm not getting... Why do they look at you like you're making a problem for them in a restaurant, a cafe, when they're writing? It's to be... It's called a poseur, folks. That was a famous phrase in the Bohemian circles of the 20s, long before I was born. They were known as poseurs, P-O-S-E-U-R-S, which are people who are faking it. And America is now filled with an entire pseudo-intellectual class of poseurs. Of all stripes, okay? Never, not alone just writer poseurs. You name it. From the Real Housewives of, what do you think they are? They're poseurs. They're not real housewives. A real housewife wouldn't have a TV show. You got to be a lunatic. That's what the fake Real Housewife of New York. Because he was coming on like he was a hot... And she was going to out him. I mean, look, I read everything, you know. It's terrible when you're in the business. You wind up reading everything. You never stop. I'm always digging, researching. People like my family say, why are you reading that garbage? Why do you read popular this? Why do you read articles like media articles, entertainment articles? Because everything's interesting to me. It's not just highbrow. I like lowbrow stuff too. It's like occasionally, I mean, I like tuna fish sandwiches as well as decent dining. I hate fine dining. I'm not like into really fine dining. I can't stand. That's like so poseur and pseudo. I cannot take it. I can't eat in a restaurant like that. My glottis locks up. The minute a guy prances over and tells me the menu, and if the menu is over a certain size, I leave the restaurant. I know I'm being ripped off. The larger the menu, the worse the food. That's a new. Is that true? Could that parable work? The larger the size of the menu, I don't mean the number of items, because I know good restaurants have, but I mean the size, the carte de fare. If it's overly large, it reminds me of old Italian bills, like lira. I remember when I first went to Europe when I was young, I was shocked at how graphic the Italian people are. Like a 1,000 lira note at the time was like the size of our regular bill. A 10,000 lira note was bigger, it had more paper. And a 100,000 lira note had even more paper, was made of more paper. I said, that makes more sense because it's all worthless. But at least you know it's more because it's bigger. And I think it's not too long until Obama starts making different size paper currency in America. In that, I mean, how else is he going to tell you that it has any value? What is paper money? It's based upon what? Richard Nixon's grave, who buried the gold standard? You know what I'm saying? Mr. Republican. He was a Republican like my dog is a Republican. All you got to know is that all you got to know about Dick Nixon is that I was really naive at the time of his presidency. I was very young. I didn't know very much. But I remember writing in my journal as I was disturbed by people in cafes who were disturbing me because they were talking while I was writing in my journal as I was a young poseur at the time. During Nixon's era, when I was simply writing in journals with my dark eyes and my, you know, pen focused on my... I remember it was a brocaded Chinese covered journal. I was really into like my journals. They bring a lot on eBay. I have a whole carton filled with this dreck. You know, today I did this and did that and my heart is broken and blah, blah, blah. How can the world be so blah, blah, blah. You know, instead of going out and buying real estate in Manhattan, I was writing in journal. What can you do? All right. So anyway, if I had only bought a tenement at that time in Manhattan, in Harlem, you can imagine? If I had only done a business deal with Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton at that time. But then at that time, I think Al Sharpton didn't have his divinity degree yet. He wasn't 10. We looked into that, by the way. Remember, why are you calling him Reverend Sharpton? For years, I've been asking, what do you mean reverend? And they talk to him like he's really a reverend. Reverend Sharpton. I mean, I'm a real PhD from a great university, and they castigate me, those vermin in the media. But this dirtbag, this degenerate fraud, do I have to say Tawana Brawley and Detective Pagonis again? This complete fraud has a divinity degree from a storefront church in New York City given to him when he was 10 years old. And that qualifies Fox News to refer to him as Reverend Sharpton. I'm not jealous of him. I'm just sick of the vermin in the media. I'm sick of them and their false pretenses. How am I in the media if I have so much trouble with people in the media? I don't really understand that.
Savage.